personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
So we got some compliments, Dal, on the draft lottery video.
We did? Oh, we, you did.
Yes, I did.
I wasn't involved. I've
been asked by a bunch of randos after I posted it on my Facebook and Twitter if I could help them make one for their league.
And you're helping me, remember?
Yeah, and some random dude named Dal has asked me as well. But so just to reiterate, because I don't remember if we got it on the show for the second year in a row, Dal, are we getting a guarantee?
Yes, Josh Allen.
You're taking Josh Allen, and it's not going to be on draft day that you're like, oh, man, well, but I've got to take McCaffrey.
Here's the thing. Last year, I'll be honest, I don't think you meant to do it, but it worked out this way. You played me last year, and I don't think you meant to.
It wasn't necessarily intentional, but I have an image to maintain, so I better take credit for it.
But I'm pretty much, when I draft my fantasy football draft people, I tend to not do the traditional, oh, it's this round, I got to take this person or this position or whatever. I like to take who I want within reason, I guess what I'm saying is. So, yeah, I was 100% going to take Josh Allen last year because I was awarded the top pick as the newcomer loser.
By default, my dad set the draft order as, he said, well, whoever scored the most points last year, just flip the order. So whoever scored the fewest gets the first pick. And I said, and Dal scored zero last year.
Yeah, so you guys were nice enough to give me the number one pick. and you were, where were you? You were in the single digits. But you were really feeling like there was like five or six players that you wanted.
Yeah, and I was picking ninth.
There were several players you wanted, and you didn't think you were going to get any of them at nine.
No, and I infamously whined about taking Diggs at
and
nine.
So anyway, the day of the draft comes last year, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm going up against this Feely guy who wins all his leagues. There's got to be something to that whole, you know, getting an extra position player and getting your quarterback and having the points all be the same at the end of the year thing. There's got to be something to that.
It would have worked out for you if you had actually managed to successfully implement that strategy and I hadn't stolen Josh Allen from you in the third round.
Well, but at the same time, but that made it twice as bad.
Yeah.
Because now I'm doing something that I don't normally do.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the player I wanted. And the person I chose missed, like, that's the thing that irritates me, is usually when I do something different than what I usually like to do, the person I pick misses two-thirds or three-fourths of the season.
It would be one thing if you're like, darn it, I took Jonathan Taylor, and then I didn't get anyone else, and he had to carry my whole team. But, like, no, it was like, he was the downfall.
Yeah, he was terrible. He didn't give me anything every week it was like, yeah, he's questionable. And then Thursday, I'd roll around, nope, he's not playing. And I'm like, you worthless piece of crap.
And my dad, so I was trying to actually get McCaffrey this year. I was hoping to be number one, which, just for fun.
Which, honestly, but I've been screwed by McCaffrey before, which is why I was never going to pick him. Last year would have been a fantastic year to pick Christian McCaffrey.
If you ever win the consolation bracket and you just want to screw with someone, give my dad the first overall pick whenever you can. It's the unspoken rule because he's so venomous against having that pick because all his championships have come when he picks like 8th, 7th, whatever, and he just ends up with the player. He said, anytime I've got the first pick and I get to pick the blue chip running back, it's the kiss of death. He's like, it's happened 5 times in his lifetime, and 5 times that running back has missed 10 or more games that
season.
I'll
be honest, I'm a little closer to your dad's age, and I understand his pain. He's had a lifetime of experience getting screwed over by things.
My dad, personally,
getting started.
Yeah, is the reason David Johnson's career got ruined. He's convinced of it. He's like, David Johnson was the best running back in
football. He was for like 1 year.
He's like, until I took him first overall in the draft, and then he tore his knees in half, and now he's never been the same. He's like, I'm so sorry, David Johnson.
So that really irritated me last year. I had these players I didn't want because I was trying to play Moneyball, and then I didn't get who I wanted, which was Josh Allen.
who led me to the championship.
Who ended up doing what Josh Allen does. Now, you watch. He's supposed to be on the Madden cover. That's the rumor.
Yeah, I've heard he's the leading candidate, but they've got it down to four finalists.
But that used to be a curse. I don't know that it is anymore.
It really hasn't been the last
few years.
Because
Tom Brady won it. Patrick Mahomes won it.
Yeah.
John Madden, obviously, was on it last year, and, you know, he wasn't going to lose anything. Yeah. But I just... So I'm hoping that's not a thing. But you watch. This will be the year that I'm like, hell yeah, Josh Allen. I'm picking him first overall. And this will be the one time in his career that he actually gets injured. That he's not Superman.
Or the Bills are going to turn into the greatest red zone rushing offense you've ever seen in your life. And you're like, wow, I got another 300 yards out of Allen.
Which, you know
for
what?
No touchdowns.
Which, you know what? If the Bills were to win the Super Bowl, but Josh Allen didn't have a great fantasy season, I'd be fine with it. I really would.
It is funny that both of us are kind of in a position where, even though we're both optimistic about, for me, it's the rebuild. For you, it's a couple of young pieces of our teams. We're both in a position where we're absolutely willing to give a bandwagon team that we just focus the Super Bowl. Because we're like, oh, well, certainly the Bears or Washington aren't winning the Super Bowl this year.
Not
but
only
I'll
that,
take Buffalo or Cincy.
Not only that, our bandwagon teams, neither of them have ever won a Super Bowl. So there's
also true.
There's that little tidbit of, you know, we're, as people, we kind of pull for those types of teams.
One of those is partially your team's fault.
Unless it's Cleveland. They can kiss my big white butt.
That's that. We should specify that specifically for the Watson thing. The Cleveland fan base has.
We
acknowledge your pain. We promise.
No.
But
I love the Cleveland fans. The Cleveland franchise can go suck a rock. That is what they did is one of the most unconscionable, selfish things that I've ever seen in my. Not only did they give a predator record money, guaranteed.
Which is going swimmingly, by the way.
They wrecked the entire quarterback market, which was already volatile.
Which, to be fair, I at least got to give credit to the fact that I was really worried that that had set a precedent and now everything was ruined forever. And every quarterback that signed a contract since...
They've sucked.
Well, not only that, but I'm like, I keep waiting for the next fully guaranteed contract, and we keep not getting it, despite people like Jalen Hurts, like Russell Wilson, like Lamar Jackson all signing new contracts. None of them have been these fully guaranteed mega. And I went, okay, so maybe everyone realizes the Browns are just dumb, and we're not actually going there. But
I actually thought, not to get off topic too much, but you know that's what we do here. I actually thought that when Mahomes signed his other, not the one he just redid, but his other one, his $50 million, $50 million a year, whatever it was,
$500 million over 10 years, averages 50.
But he immediately took some of that and he became a part owner in the Royals. Remember that? I really thought that was going to be the next thing. These guys that are like the elite young superstars. When it came to those types of negotiations, I really did think that they'd be like, you know, we can give you this guaranteed money or we can give you 1% of the franchise or whatever. Some percentage. I guess I'm saying I thought it was going to turn into like a part owner kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the players would be like, wow, that's actually a really cool thing. I think I'll do that. Obviously, that hasn't panned out quite like that. But anyway, I really did think that there for a while that might be the way, like the really top elite players might get contracts done.
It is funny that for two off seasons in a row, we've seen some contract absolutely that was nutty and everyone knew it was nutty and we were all worried. And the other one was Christian Kirk for the wide receiver market and everyone got worried immediately like, oh my God, this is going to ruin
everyone
football.
Was mad. Because it really jacked up the wide receiver market, or at least it looked like it did.
And then once again, both times I've been proven for the last 2 years, I'm like, oh, and then people went right back down to earth and started signing regular contracts again. I went, oh, I guess those two just have really great agents.
And I'll also say this, at the time, it looked like a ridiculous deal. If you look what the Jaguars did.
And then Kirk had a pretty good year.
And you look at what Kirk did, and then beyond what his numbers did, I think he helped build a confidence and a culture there.
I still think it was too much money, but
it probably was. But guess what? He was.
You don't care if you win.
You know. So I'm going to use this example. I'm pretty sure my son doesn't listen to this. So he bought a vintage Buffalo Bills jacket, mm-hmm. like a starter jacket from the 90s.
Yeah.
And he paid X number of dollars for it, which I thought was about twice as much as what it was worth. But he was happy. And it is. It's cool. Especially, you know, right now it's got that vintage classic look and everybody likes that right now. And so I didn't do what your normal dad thing is go, well, you paid too much for that, son, blah, blah, blah. I need to watch that instead. I brought out a little nugget that I had learned myself. If you're happy with what you paid for it, then it's worth it.
Yeah.
He was happy. He loves that thing. He's happy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, is that worth me saying you paid $70 too much for it or whatever? No, of course not. Same thing with Christian Kirk. I think if you went to the front office and those the people that count the beans there for the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think they would say, we like that contract. We like what he did for us last year. No one's complaining except non-fans of Jacksonville who think that it might have cost their team a couple extra $1 million when they signed their wide receiver, i.e. maybe Terry McLaurin, mm-hmm. for the Commies. But again, there's another player. That guy hasn't had a real quarterback throw to him yet. Give him his money.
And, you know, we can go that direction too. Another big news story coming out of the NFL is apparently reporters have been very impressed with, and this either means that DJ Moore is having a great camp or our cornerbacks have shown up drunk, but apparently DJ Moore, they said something like over the week, they do one-on-one. And I've said this before, I'm an offensive player. I only played wide receiver in high school and college, and whenever I played, I was kind of a specialist in that category. I should always be crapping on defense and this and that, but one-on-ones is an offensive drill. Let me just say that.
It should be.
It's an offensive drill. That's not how defense is played, but whatever. They said, you know, over the course of the week, they would do one-on-ones every day at practice with the starting DBs against the starting receivers, and then, you know, they numbered them down. Jalen Johnson was not at the first week of OTAs, so he's going up against Stevenson, the rookie from Miami, and he's going up against Kyler Gordon, the second-year corner, but both were corners that we had high hopes for. And they said every single day DJ Moore went up for his one-on-ones, and every single day DJ Moore came down with every single football thrown on every single one of his one-on-ones. He never got covered or stopped once.
You go back and look at that trade. You go back and look at that trade. That trade was probably a pretty fair trade if you don't include DJ Moore on paper. For what the compensation was.
Speaking of that.
If you were going to put that on the scale, mm-hmm. it's pretty close. For the Bears to have gotten that caliber of player, especially if he still has another level, which I think he might, then they totally won that trade.
I think it's funny, though, that the Panthers are an organization that I've always liked. I'm like, and I know this is weird that this would pop into my head, but if I don't have a reason to hate you and you have a really nice uniform, for some reason, I'm inclined to like you a little bit. I don't know why. That's what my brain does. But like Carolina, I'm like, you're not in my division. There's no rivalry there. They've never really gotten in our way apart from that one time in 2005, I think it was, when they beat us in the playoffs. I'm like, I like Carolina. And then, ooh, look at that. Those are some nice uniforms. And then this trade happened, a trade that I was absolutely convinced when it first happened, Bears fans on social media, Panthers fans on social media, everyone seemed like they were happy with what they got.
Yeah.
The Panthers wanted Bryce Young. The Bears wanted everything.
and they got it.
And everyone got what they wanted. And then like a couple months pass of no one caring at all because everyone seemed happy. And like for the last month, these two fan bases can't stand each other all of a sudden. And I don't know how that just suddenly... It's the most intense blood feud between two bottom feeders I've ever witnessed in my life.
Well, I just... And again, here's the thing. I'll go back to the same statement. If Bryce Young turns out to be what they think he is, then who cares? It'll be a footnote that they gave up DJ Moore to move up to number one to get him. If he... here's the thing,
I'm just
though.
Curious
for,
why.
For the first 3 or 4 years of his career, you're not probably not going to be able to say that because that's not how the quarterback position works. I mean, heck, people are still arguing whether or not Tua is a bust or not.
I find it funny people are still criticizing Justin Herbert for not winning enough.
Yeah, people are bagging on him, and quite honestly, didn't he have like the best rookie year ever?
As far as yardage, yeah. Yes.
So I mean, you can't expect that is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But if he gives you that, then great. But I what I'm saying is if Bryce Young comes in and he's exactly what you thought, and he helps your team move forward and win. Yeah, who cares? But right now, the Bears won that trade.
I just think it's funny how much venom is being spewed between these two fan bases that absolutely neither one should care.
It's easy to spew venom when you don't play each other, when you're not in the same division.
Yeah, well, we will who play cares? Each other this year in Chicago. That's even then, coming up in November, I think. But I find it funny. Panthers fans are so insulted that Bears fans keep saying, well, we're going to get another top 10 draft pick out of this because we got their first round pick next year. And Panthers fans are like that's like insulting to them. They're like, how dare you think we're going to be a bottom 10 team? You greedy sacks of such and such. And we're like, well, you got a rookie quarterback, no wide receivers, and, you know, you won 5 games last year or whatever it was. This doesn't feel that unreasonable. And Panther fans, including a few that were in like the Panthers radio, that I laughed very hysterically at this. There was some gentleman who runs a sports radio show in Charlotte who got on Twitter and said, he was talking about basically just running down Justin Fields. He said, the Bears have the 33rd best quarterback in the NFL, and there's only 32 teams, and I got to listen to them talk about our quarterback situation when we just got a generational college star. And everyone had a bunch of tweets of him from literally 4 months ago talking about how he's like, Justin Fields might be available in a trade. The Panthers need to get on this. Justin Fields is a star. We need Justin. This dude literally 4 months ago wanted him to be a Panther. And now that, you know, they moved on, he's out here,
you know,
tweeting in the opposite direction.
I was going to kind of crap on the Panthers here, but now that I've looked it up while you were talking, they've always had their share of top 10 picks, and they've more of them have been recently. So let's go back to.
They're usually pretty decent at it.
Yeah. So let's go. But I'm just saying, for them to be upset, saying we're not going to be a top 10 draft team because we're going to win enough games,
and of course it's just
that's a little disingenuous based on what they've been the last decade.
Yeah.
So I decided to look that. Okay. So you go back to Cam Newton. They picked him number one overall in 2011. So there's one. The next year they were ninth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two top tens. They picked Luke Kuechly.
Solid thus far.
The next year they picked Star Latulele, which was 14th, so we don't get to count that.
Nope.
Then they were 28th, so 25th, 30th.
Yeah, these
that was the heyday of the Ron Rivera era, I think. Then they're back to 8th. Christian McCaffrey in 2017. So there's three top 10 picks.
Then they made the playoffs that year.
And then the next one, yeah, so 24th. Then 16th.
Who'd they pick there at 24th, Dell? Who is that superstar that I'm looking at?
DJ Moore. okay, 2020, Derek Brown was 7th. 2021, J.C. Horn was 8th. And 2022, Ikem Ekwonu was 6th. So here's my issue. If you're a longtime Panthers fan, let's say 20 years, 25, then maybe you can complain about, hey, you can't just say that. But your last three picks have been in the top 10.
One of them.
Sorry, that's a trend.
and J.C. Horn has actually been very good.
I'm not even talking about the caliber of players they're getting at those picks, but I'm saying you can't be mad at Chicago for reading the tea leaves and saying we have a great chance to get a top 10 pick when your last three picks have been in the top 10.
Well, and here's the other part is it's funny to me that most of the venom is spewed about will Bryce Young or Justin Fields be the better quarterback. That has essentially been what this has turned into. And all the Panther fans that legitimately, when they took J.C. Horn 8th, were all furious that they didn't take Justin Fields, yeah, are now trying to revise history and pretend they never liked the guy. And I just find that very funny.
I don't know. And it takes years. It takes years to find out who is the best in any given. I mean, honestly.
And we'll probably find out this year on Justin.
I think it still could be like 2-3 years away.
The only reason I say that is I think, well, for the Bears. I think the Bears are giving him this year. They said, look, last year was an absolute throwaway year as far as what you had around you. We didn't give you an O-line. Your starting wide receivers were Darnell Mooney and Equanimeous St. Brown. And Mooney missed 5 games.
He needs a nickname. That's way too long of a name.
Well,
if he was a dominant player, that's one thing, but you're not. We call you E.
I think they just call him ESB, but...
And see, he's not good enough for that either.
That's just not catchy, so I literally do just spew the whole name because I remember him at Notre Dame. But anyhow, this year they said, look, we got you Chase Claypool, who had a pretty poor second half of the year last year. But
as it stands right now, that was a crappy trade.
Yeah, and we'll see. You still have Mooney. Mooney is a third wide receiver, though.
I like Mooney.
A lot better.
You hate him because he should have helped
No. I was mad about that one play. I am a Darnell Mooney fan. But Darnell Mooney as a third wide receiver is, I would say, as your one receiver, that's not a very good receiving core. As your third receiver, that's a very good wide receiver.
Oh, totally agree.
And then, you know, we got that other guy. we just drafted Tyler Scott. We're going to throw him at Velus Jones as a gadget player. He's a little Cordell Patterson-ish. So they have fast wide receivers. We got players to catch the football. We got 3 running backs behind you, Justin, and we got brought in 3 brand new offensive linemen, and we kept the only 2 good ones from last year. This year we have a decent set of offensive talent around Justin Fields, so I think this is the year the Bears just say, all right, Justin, here you go. This is an NFL offense you've got now. Go give us a decent year. You don't have to make the Pro Bowl. Can we get
3,000 yards passing.
25 touchdowns, 3,000 yards.
See, I think the Bears would be absolutely giddy if Justin Fields threw for 25 touchdowns.
That is.
Because he's probably going to get 7-10 rushing touchdowns.
We will hope that he doesn't have to have another 1,000-yard rushing season.
Right, but I'm saying if he threw for 25, I mean, Chicago's a lot like Washington. That doesn't happen every year.
No.
So I think they would be tickled pink.
I mean, if you get that, they're going to say, you know what, Justin? It doesn't matter that you didn't throw 40 touchdowns. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Go out there, have... If you can have a Jay Cutler season, I think he's proven himself. He's the Bears quarterback going for... You know, like I just said, 3,000 yards, 25 touchdowns. You can have 13, 14 interceptions. Whatever, you're young. Give us those 25 touchdowns, I don't care. 2-1 ratio, that's fine. If he has a season like that, he's the Bears quarterback going forward. If he comes out and it's, you know, oh, I threw 14 touchdowns, I had 15 interceptions, whoopsie daisies, I don't think the Bears go into 2024. I think they use their 2 first round picks.
We call that the Deshaun Watson numbers, which is what he had with Cleveland.
But yeah, I think if he comes out and he does that, I think the Bears do say, well, we have 2 first-round picks next year. This is a great chance for us to get another quarterback and try this again. We're not wasting it, Justin. Sorry, you had, you know, a bad year. I think we're done here. I think this is the, is Justin Fields the Bears quarterback or not season.
That's fair enough.
So we're going to find out. I've heard Sam Howell of your Washington Commies has been getting some rave reviews from the receivers.
I'm hearing good things, and I am choosing to be cautiously optimistic.
You might as well. They're in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's June.
If you're going to be mad now, then
what's the point?
Be mad, I guess. That's all you're going to be all year.
If you can't... I was optimistic like a few years ago when they were coming off a 3-win season and Jay Gruden was still the coach. Snyder was still the owner. And I don't even remember who was... I don't even remember what poo-poo platter we had at quarterback. And I had talked myself into thinking, you know, they could be okay. I'm much more excited now than I am then. Dan Snyder's going to be gone. He has moved out of his Mount Vernon estate. He's gone. So, I mean, that's a good sign. From all indications that I have read, Eric Bieniemy is installing a whole different type of culture with the offense. You know,
it's certainly going to be schematically much different.
Getting him from the Chiefs, and I think just attitude-wise, and let's be honest, the Commies have some players that have been underutilized. They've got skill sets that I don't think we know what their full abilities are. And I'm talking about Brian Robinson, one, they drafted him. I still think he's getting better because, let's be honest, at this time last year, he was shot or was about to be shot. And then Antonio Gibson, I think, is still, he could be a 1,000-yard receiver, or a 1,000-yard rusher, or both. We have no idea. Jahan Dotson, I think we just scratched on the surface of that guy.
I think the biggest thing that would excite me if I were a Washington fan is the wide receivers.
Yeah.
And can Sam Howell, and again, we just talked about, is this
and
the
Curtis Samuel's in there too.
I was going to say, we're talking about, is this the Justin Fields show? That's what the Bears season is going to be, is this Justin Fields team? I think Washington's in a position where this is a year where they're going to say, is this Sam Howell's team? Let's go find out. We got Terry McLaurin. We got Jahan Dotson. We got guys to throw to. We got Curtis Samuel. He should be back. And, you know, he was hurt for you guys last year. That's not really a traditionally his career thing. He wasn't hurt that often with Carolina. I mean, that's a solid receiving core right there.
Oh, yeah.
I just talked about, I think the Bears have an underrated receiving core. I like what we have at wide receiver. You match them up player for player there in the top three. McLaurin and DJ Moore, you'd put them on the same tier. Dotson and Mooney.
I would put McLaurin ahead of DJ Moore.
You can put him ahead on a ranking, but they're both, top 10 wide receivers?
Sure.
But on the lower end of the 10?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Same tier is what I was saying. Dotson and Mooney are very similar players in their own right. They're both really good speedsters with great hands. Dotson, younger, obviously, and a first-round pick, so he's got a lot more upside. And then, you know, Curtis Samuel and Chase Claypool are not exactly similar receivers, but, you know, you look at both of them and you're like, I don't know. Again, maybe same team. If I like one, I like the other.
I would agree with you, though, that I think this is... I mean, yeah, we're going to learn a lot about Sam Howell in the first 2 months of the season. And if he's the answer, then Washington, I think, has a decent chance to make the postseason. And if he's not, then you're going to see Jacoby
Brissett. In a very weak NFC.
But the NFC East is not.
The East is not. But remember, you can send three teams out of one division
that's true. But I also think that if he's not the answer, then Jacoby Brissett comes in and gives you solid numbers.
I think this wide receiver...
And then you see what happens in the offseason.
That's almost the litmus test, is this receiving core. You go, well, they're good enough that if we throw Brissett in there, you can pretty much pencil it in. You're like, if Brissett started the whole year, what would Brissett have? 22 touchdowns, 3,000 yards?
Yeah,
14-15 interceptions? Sure, because that's who Jacoby Brissett is, and that's a good receiving core. So maybe you literally tell Sam Howell, you're like, I can guarantee you what Brissett's numbers would be coming into this offense, because I know Brissett. Go see if you can match or beat it.
Well, and the other thing, you know, the thing is at least they do have weapons on offense. Their D-line is as solid as they have done everything they possibly can to make their D-line one of the best in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They've invested heavily.
And now...
They've invested heavily in their corners.
Yeah, they finally put some skinny guys back there to run with the receivers. in the case of one of them, yes.
But I just... I guess I'm excited. I'm excited for the guy. And I think a team like the Giants, who overperformed last year, I think they're taking a step back. And I also think Washington, even though they pissed me off and got rid of Chase Roullier at center, former Wyoming guy, that really sucked. They did invest in the O-line. Hopefully the O-line as a whole will be better, but they're going to miss Chase Roullier. He was a top 10 center when he was healthy. The issue was not when he was in the lineup. It's that the last 2 years he had suffered catastrophic injuries 2 years in a row, right after he signed an extension. And so the team, it was a money decision.
Yeah.
He'll be starting center for someone this next year. That hasn't happened yet, but I'll bet you he's starting at center for somebody this year.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm with you. I feel like Washington has a chance to decide, if he's the guy, and if not, there's a couple of guys out there that everybody wants, so.
And obviously... just in the OTA portion of the NFL season, but we always mention it anyway because you can't not bring up the NFL on any given overall sports show in America.
It's technically football season.
It's always football season, baby. This is the year of our Lord 2023 is the year of football. All right. We got, and speaking of This is my punishment, Dal. First of all, my Arlington Renegades shirt came in with the championship and all
that.
Yeah,
where's that? I thought you were going to wear that.
I wore it on Sunday, so it's dirty. Otherwise, it was going to... Maybe once...
How dirty can it be? You're sitting on the couch watching football.
Yeah.
Did you do?
Not like actually dirty, but I wore it for a day, so it's not going to be worn again until it's washed.
What did you do? Were you like just slobbering all over with stew and nachos or what?
I was watching sports all day, so I was sweating through all my clothes. But my 4-6 Renegades who made the playoffs, and then not only made the playoffs, but swept the things. And I said, you know, I'm laughing at St. Louis Battlehawk fans and this and that because their team was 7-3 and didn't make the playoffs because of the bad playoff system and this and that. So I had to be punished. God said, all right, Aaron, you laughed too hard. So here's how this is going to work. And then the USFL season starts, and they have the same playoff system, top two teams for each division. And right now, the worst team in the South Division is 5-3. The best team in the North Division is 4-4. So two teams that are both guaranteed to be 500 or better are going to miss the playoffs. And there's probably going to be a team at 4-6 from the North that makes it.
Hopefully,
and we're going to do this again.
Hopefully it's my Generals, but having watched a good chunk of what they did this last week, it is not likely. Wow, they're bad.
Well, they are on quarterback number 4.
I don't care. They're terrible.
That was not, for a team to have the number 1 defense in the league and be 2-6 or whatever they are.
It's very Washington-esque, honestly. I'm used to it. And Wyoming-esque, if I'm being truthful.
Another week that was basically just a waste of a week for everyone, too, because if you're looking for playoff seeding to move, every game was a North team versus a South team, and the South went 4-0. So playoff seeding unaffected in every conceivable way in every... Like, all right, we'll throw that week out, I guess. Three times, by the way, I was rooting for a North team to pull an upset against one of the South teams so that the Breakers could move up in playoff standing.
Like you were actively cheering for my Generals.
I was. And all three times, that North team that I wanted to win had the lead with under a minute to go.
Yeah, the one time they didn't was my team.
And all three times they lost. And I went, none of you can hold a lead for a minute? 1 minute? To just not give up the game-losing touchdown? And the answer was no. So I really learned my lesson.
I really do think there is a dearth of old-school football savvy across the board. Things that used to be considered kind of traditional, you'd probably call them conservative now, in terms of philosophy and game plan and things that you do. But the stuff that I grew up watching... a lot of times doesn't happen anymore. Things that used to be kind of considered coaching tricks or hacks, they don't do them anymore. Because just for that very reason, if you have the lead for a minute, you should win that game. I mean, the odds say you should win that game like 95 or 98 out of 100.
Not 0-3.
Yeah. I think coaches these days get a little too... oh, we got to hurry. It's like, no, you don't have to hurry.
I would even
win
say this.
The game, as Denny Green used to say.
I would argue that
Herm Edwards.
Yes.
Oh, now
you play to win the game.
Now I look like a racist.
Part of the problem is how much disdain I have for any team with a touchdown lead in the final minute. You can guarantee it. Put it down. Say, 45 seconds out of this minute is going to be played inside their own 20 playing red zone defense trying to win the game. Because they give you those first 50 to 60 yards for free. Like, just play your defense. And it's not like these are games. Like in the NFL, we're talking about, the offense is king. The offense, all these rule changes. You got games that are 34-31, and the team with 31 has the ball. And you can understand if that team goes down and scores because you're like, well, the offense has been scoring all day. I guess it is what it is. Some of these games were like 13-9, and the defenses have been dominating. And then they just wet themselves in the final minute because they're scared. I'm like, play defense! It works.
Don't give up anything. Whatever happened to that mentality? Oh, we're going to play the average. It's like, well, then you're going to lose. I don't like that kind of stuff. Anyway, I feel like the game has de-evolved in that way, and it's turned into a little more like a ping pong match instead of we're a wall and you have to break through this wall in a minute. Well, I can't do that in a minute. That's right, you can't. we win. Done. We should probably talk about other stuff, too.
So I did promise I'd mention it on the show. We brought it up a little bit in our staff meeting yesterday. But Luis Arraez's batting average is up to .399 this season, Dal. He's potentially going to flirt with being the first 400 hitter since the early 90s. And ESPN sent out a bit of a controversial tweet, in my opinion, asking what was more impressive, if Arraez hits 400 for the season this year or what Aaron Judge did last year. And I said, this is not even close. Aaron Judge hit 62 balls over the fence. Arraez is on pace to hit, are you ready for this, 2.7 home. Let's even round up. Let's give him 3. I get it. He's going to be on base 40% of the time when he's at bat. He doesn't actually take that many walks. His on-base percentage is barely higher than his batting average. He's going to be on base 40% of the time. That's pretty good. The problem is, he's on first base every time. He barely hits any doubles. I think he's on pace for 30 doubles on the season. And he plays every day. He's on pace for 3 home runs. 3 triples. He's not getting any extra base hits. 84% of his hits are singles. 62 home runs, please. Like, this isn't even a discussion to me. But, Dal, I got almost the exact opposite response from my own father.
And me.
Who is the opposite. He says, no, I want a guy that's going to make contact every time. So, you just said that you're more on that side. Go ahead and convince me that ball over fence isn't more important.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to convince you. You're pretty adamant about it. There's no doubt that one is funner than the other. There's no doubt that that one is more explosive than the other. But it's almost like saying, again, we'll compare it to football. Let's say Cooper Kupp catches 150 balls for 2,000 yards, which is basically what he did a couple years ago. But he only has 3 touchdowns. Hold on.
Okay.
See? Is that an unimpressive year? No, of course not.
I'm not saying unimpressive. I'm saying they had a lot of gall to ask that particular question.
I think it's fine to have this discussion because it really does boil down to what you feel like helps the team more. One's definitely funner to watch.
I would argue.
I would much rather watch 6'7", 285-pound WWE-bound Aaron Judge pound 62 home runs.
Do you want to know the terrifying truth?
He freaking broke through a bullpen fence last week.
Fun.
He broke it by running into it. This is baseball. Anyway, but if you're talking, but to me, baseball is of all the sports, has more history by far than any of the other, at least American sports. And you've got to look at that from the perspective of how many people have hit 400. Now, how many people have hit 400, post-World War II? How about in the last 50 years? It is incredibly rare.
As pitchers started specializing in just pitching,
exactly.
It became harder to hit.
Exactly. They've changed everything to make it harder. And like I said, it's not as sexy. It's not as glamorous. But if he hits 400, especially like you said, he doesn't strike out that much. If he hits 400, that is remarkable. That's amazing.
It is amazing. Here's why I'm still going to argue for, and I even went lower on that, and I said, he's not even the most impressive Miami Marlin this season.
Maybe he's not.
I'd rather have Jorge Soler, and my dad was, because my dad really hated guys like Ricky Jackson, who used to play back in the day. Guys like that that were just, I'm swinging for a home run, or I'm not running the bases at all. Jorge Soler is hitting .245 right now. He's hitting below .250. He's on pace for 44 home runs. And I said, you know what? Jorge Soler, here's why I'd rather have the 44 home runs than the hitting 400. Even if he's going to hit 242. Because Jorge Soler has scored personally 32 runs this year. And has, and I don't have him in front of me anymore, I think it was in the 40s for RBIs. So he's scored more runs himself, and he's batted in more runs, which means what, Dal? It means the Marlins score runs when Jorge Soler's at the plate. Luis Arraez has less than half the RBIs that Jorge Soler has, and he has fewer runs scored, so he's not even scoring. So even though he's getting on base all the time, he's not scoring all that much. He's not getting to second and then to third and then home. So Soler scores more. And what else is there important in the offensive side of baseball than touching home plate?
I feel like as you look at it, like I said, one's more glamorous than the other.
It's glamorous, but it also is more helpful.
But I'll also throw this out there. What if a guy's hitting 235? And he happens to be hit, but every time, because you see this sometimes, guy's hitting 250 or under, but he gets 35, 40 home runs in a year. Is that impressive?
To me, it is.
I don't think it's that impressive.
It would also depend, again, like I said.
All it means is he strikes out like 3/4 of the time, or he hits a home run.
My favorite was, did you see Joey Gallo's stats last year where he was hitting like 112, but had 30-something home runs? Because that was one of the funniest stats I've ever seen. But anyhow, here's why I'm going to say it. Because to me, the important part is still what are you doing for your team, Dal? Not how impressive is it that you keep managing to hit that baseball. How does it help the team? And if Luis Arraez getting on base is not producing runs, then I don't care if he's on first base. I simply don't care. I'll walk you on first base if I can strike out the three guys right behind you. What does it matter to me? Take second, too, if you want. That's, you know, probably shouldn't because then one hit gets you home. But if you're not getting to – that's one thing, too. It doesn't matter if he's not hitting home runs, fine. I still say, and I know I'm a White Sox fan, I'm biased, but Tim Anderson had 3 years in a row, 2019, 2020, 2021, where he was either the batting champ in the American League or in the top three, and he was hitting around 340 each of those years, and you're taking a full 60 points off that batting average, right? Which should be a massive gap. But when Tim Anderson hit nearly triple as many doubles as Luis Arraez is going. Now, yeah, Anderson also hit, I want to say it was between 15-ish and 20-ish home runs, and those are cool. I'll even take those out. Just give me the extra base hits. I want you in scoring position because I can't guarantee that I got three guys in a row that can all hit a single before we get three outs. I need you on second base, and I need you there as quickly as possible. And Luis Arraez is barely hitting any doubles. First base is so unthreatening to me. Take first base. You can have first base. I'm getting the next three guys out.
I think part of that, though, is the way they play baseball now. It used to be you got a guy on first base.
And I would agree with that.
Now you're going to try and steal. You're going to bunt him over. They don't do any of those things now. They don't bunt players over. Nobody tries to steal it like Ricky Henderson did.
Well,
nobody tries to do any of that. So what I'm saying is I feel like our singles hitter is also getting judged because of the era that he's playing in. What if we were playing in the 90s?
That's fair.
He would his impact would be greater, I guess is what I'm saying.
And here's why.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault, I will argue, about the bunting part. Because people don't sacrifice thrown at bat anymore for their teammates, which is partially part of the problem, especially in close games.
I agree. The Rockies the other night were down in a close game. They had a guy on first. They didn't even attempt to get him over to second. And I'm thinking to myself, do I not know how baseball works anymore? Did I miss something?
However, baseball went out of its way to make stealing second base easier. Did they not? And Luis Arraez, there are plenty of... I just brought him up. Tim Anderson is a stolen base machine. He loves stealing second base. So if I can get a guy hitting 340 on first base, you know what? He can hit singles if he's going to go steal second. Luis Arraez doesn't steal bases either. He's just a singles merchant. He might as well just be swinging bunts left and right and then just staying on first base waiting for his turn to go play defense again.
To me,
he's not going to move.
To me, I don't think there is a huge difference as far as impact to the game between, you're saying, 340 and 400.
Well, I would say,
to me, if you're hit, to me, the magic number is 333.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hitting and getting on base a third of the time,
you're insane.
You're very good at baseball.
Well,
you're very good at hitting anyway.
I should stop here to make sure that I make this very clear. What Luis Arraez is doing is absolutely incredible. I'm comparing it to the impact it has on some of the great power hitting seasons.
We're talking about potentially,
because ESPN decided to ask if this would be more impressive than Aaron Judge.
What's also
legitimately breaking the home run record. Forget the steroids. It was fun. 2001 Barry Bonds is very cool. But there's a rain cloud over it. And we all know what the rain cloud is. So 62 home runs, the most legitimate unjuiced home runs in MLB history.
I think that's absolutely
history.
The single season home run record. And I have said this before on the show, Hank Aaron is still the home run king as far as I'm concerned. 755. So there it is.
And Hank Aaron, it's hard for me to use him against Luis Arraez here because he also hit above 300, I do believe.
I'm saying is it's not Mark McGwire, it's not Sammy Sosa, it's not Barry Bonds, it's not any of those people. It's Aaron Judge now, and it's still Hammer and Hank. So that's.
And I actually still have some respect for Barry Bonds that you don't really generally have.
I don't.
Purely because I at least respect that he already was a very talented baseball
player. That's actually the exact reason why I have no respect for him.
I was about to say, I always laugh when people bring up McGwire and Sosa because they weren't really that good before they started juicing.
Well,
they were kind of. Sosa was a good defender.
My issue with Barry Bonds is, had he been clean, this is where my brother would say, he's never technically been found of, which is funny because he doesn't even like the Giants. He's a Pirates fan, and he loved Barry Bonds when he was a skinny guy on the Pirates.
Could still hit home runs.
But that's my point. Barry Bonds, had he not done any juicing, any cream and clear and whatever all that was, I mean, you can sit and argue about this, that, and the other. Something happened.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was friggin' huge.
He learned what a bench press was.
He looked like an orange. His head looked like an orange on a toothpick, except it wasn't an orange on a toothpick. It was like an orange on a hot dog. He's huge. Anyway, before he started doing all that, he was already
the best player in baseball.
Arguably the best player. He was the first and only 500-500 guy. 500 homers, 500 steals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was the list. That's it. And yet, he decided at some point in the quiet moments of the night, that's not good enough. I want to go all drug Olympics here and see what I can do with that. And let's be honest. It was fun to watch, but you knew you were watching a circus.
Bonds personally, and we've argued this before, so this might be wasting both of our time since we don't really.
I don't think our podcast is a waste of time.
I meant this particular discussion because I think we've had it so many times.
Well, I'm not going to change my mind.
Yeah.
If that's what
Bonds
you're talking about.
Personally, I blame baseball and I blame all the people that brought the roids in. I have heard the argument before that some of those guys, including Bonds, felt like if the pitchers were going to use it and all their contemporaries were going to use it, that if they didn't, they were going to be left behind. And I sort of understand that side of it, and I go, fine. I'm not counting your record, but fine, you are still a very good baseball player.
Well,
I'll respect your
talent.
And he
is. And when have I ever said Barry Bonds was not a good baseball player? When have I ever said that?
You haven't.
He's amazing. He's arguably one of the greatest. He's arguably top five of all time pre-juice.
Mm-hmm.
Post-juice, it's just like a cop who's had an amazing career.
You know what it is?
He saved children from burning buildings, and yet at the end of his career, he decides to steal. He decides to do something crooked and sully his legacy. The part that makes me so sad about it is that it wasn't an accident. It wasn't this and that. He chose to do this time after time after time for years, and then he denies it for all the years after. We should be celebrating Barry Bonds, and instead we're talking about, well, did he or don't he? He's a non-factor. He flushed his legacy, and he chose to do it.
It reminds me of, and I guess this might be why I'm even still I'll rank Bonds where I rank him person, because I still have O.J. Simpson as a top five running back of all time, because I'm like, yeah, he's a terrible person. He murdered two people.
Allegedly.
You asked me who the top five running backs were, so I answered that. I didn't take into account anything outside of football. This is what it is.
And see, I'm perfectly fine knowing he was very good at one point in his life, and then just, yeah, it's like, sorry, I'm just not going to talk about you.
Yeah, I still put him at five. And then the other one, I compare it to this, because this one's more of a legacy destroyer. Not that Bonds did some horrible off-field thing like
O.J. Simpson. He didn't murder anyone.
No.
As far as we know.
he took steroids and denied it.
It
made a dark point in, I can't believe the most fun time in the history of baseball is going to have an asterisk next to it. Boy. Like, it's upsetting. I compare it to, in wrestling, circa, I want to say it was like 2012 or so, we had that video leak of Hulk Hogan dropping the N-word in a casual conversation, and suddenly WWE, for 4 years before they finally brought him back, essentially tried to scrub him. They never mentioned him again. They took him out of their video packages when they were and it's hard to, every time WrestleMania comes back, talk about the history of WrestleMania, and your video package is scrubbed of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that's...
And that's what Barry Bonds kind of is. He did the Hulk Hogan, and you're like, darn it!
Except,
why?
Except, again, and no offense, Aaron, one is scripted and one is not.
Well, yeah, but I meant from people's opinions of my memories of one of my most cherished childhood, this or that, and oopsie daisies, can't enjoy that anymore. Whoops.
You know, I guess
my nostalgia is dead.
And people don't have to be perfect for me to cheer for them. They don't. I'm sure that some of my favorite players are, some of them aren't.
I did appreciate the no offense, though, before informing me.
Well,
for the first time,
I was about to say
wrestling was scripted.
And I know you know, but I'm just saying, to me, it's like, it's hard for me to compare the two because I view Hulk Hogan as more of an actor.
Well, okay, I was comparing, I guess, what it did to their legacies as, this might be the greatest to have ever done blank. Oopsie daisies. Well, I shouldn't say that in public anymore, I guess.
But I guess to me, they're not as comparable because this, it would be, to me, comparable would be Hulk Hogan using the N-word every single day for years and then claiming that he didn't. He'd be a piece of crap if he was doing that, right?
Yeah. He may or may not be a piece of crap anyway.
He may or may not be. I don't know. But Barry Bonds, and I'm not even saying Barry Bonds is a piece of crap. What I'm saying is he chose.
It was dark.
He chose to gamble his legacy on a daily basis for years. And so I don't even feel bad that he's not in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens, Alex Rodriguez, all these guys, I hope they never get in. I don't care.
Do you ever think there might have been a player or two in that era?
I think Pete Rose should be in way before the steroid guys.
Do you think there was any guys, you want to talk about feeling bad, let's say that maybe would have been a perennial all-star baseball player that never did get their shot in the 90s because they chose not to take roids, and there was probably, like, they're like, I'm a really solid shortstop at 180.
I guarantee some of them didn't.
I can hit 15 home runs, but then the dude in front of him on the depth chart was hitting 40 with artificial muscles.
Or even,
he's like, oh.
Or even if they're hitting 25. That's the thing. It's a cutthroat. There's only so many positions. Yeah, To me, I don't even think about the steroid cheaters, and I hope they never get in. And again, people might say, well, how can you be okay with Pete Rose? Pete Rose, if Pete Rose had been caught shaving points on his own team, I would feel about him the same way. That's not what he did. I think he bet on his own team to win. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
And speaking of, Bears fans everywhere were very disappointed that we didn't get the very, very, very hilarious outcome of the Colts player that got busted for gambling on Colts games. Every Bears fan on earth, just for the funny memes, wanted it to be the safety that let the Davis Mills 4th-and-20 pass go through his
hands. I'm sure they did.
We're like, oh, let it be that guy. That would be so funny, wouldn't it? No, it was their punt returner. So...
Well, Ike also plays defense as a corner.
Officially, he is a cornerback, but he is not a starter. He starts as a kick and punt returner. He plays nickel and dime corner when needed.
Yeah, Isaiah Rogers Sr., by the way. Here's my issue with the league. And again, I know every case is different. I know next to nothing about what's going on here. But when the NFL decided that gambling was okay and that we're going to have not even just the NFL, but when professional sports decided that it's okay to have pro sports teams in gambling meccas like Las Vegas, and that it's okay to bet on games, and that you and I can bet the family nest egg on our phone while we're taking a dump if we wanted to, I just don't understand. Unless someone is shaving points, like unless he goes up to return a ball and
just smacks it
and quote unquote fumbles it off his chest and the other team picks it up and runs it in for a touchdown,
which you can't do because that's a muff.
Okay, thank you. But I'm saying, but even if he's trying to do stuff like that I can see. But if you're making...
Everyone that keeps getting busted is always betting on themselves or betting on games they're not playing in.
But if you're just betting, what leg does the NFL have to stand on when gambling entities are sponsoring your segments?
Yeah, here's...
I don't understand this at all.
Of course
it was going to happen.
Yeah, I think we all figured that it might happen under the radar, but I can understand why you might just hard and steady say... We don't even want to go into that room. Even the sink is the only thing off limits, but just to be safe, you're not allowed in the room.
No, I'm with you on this metaphor. I am.
So they're just like, you know what? We're not going to get specific, lest someone find a loophole. If you play our sport, you're not allowed to gamble on the sport. Bam, we're just... And I think they figure at this point, Pete Rose was doing it in an era when he was getting $8 a game. Like, honestly... Is there any reason, have you seen the bets Calvin Ridley was making too?
It was like $1,500.
There was that one. That was his total, is what I was told.
Yeah.
He was making like double digit, it was like $50 on the Colts to beat the Jaguars.
They're nothing bets. I have a relative who makes smaller bets.
Yes.
And he's not an NFL player.
And here's why, I assume you mean larger.
Well, or similar bets. But what I'm saying is he's not rich.
So, yeah, my question is, at this point, we're all defending it because we're going, oh, well, it didn't affect... He wasn't betting against the Falcons and throwing games. What's the... And part of me still thinks, Calvin, did you need 50 extra bucks that badly? What's going on? Why are you doing it?
You gamble because it adds a little flavor to the stew. When he's there with his buddies, he wants to be able to say, hey, man, I got $50 on this game.
Yeah.
$50 is $50.
And I understand why the league, though, just says, yeah, we can't have it. The length of these suspensions is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It's hilarious, though, that it happened to so many Lions.
Well, but I just, for Calvin Ridley to get a year suspension.
Jameson Williams committed the same crime and got 8 games, and it's so arbitrary.
Well, how many people are actively... using chemicals to just what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Juicing up, getting caught, stuff it's on the forbidden list. Oh, you get 4 games. But Calvin Ridley, you get a year of your prime. I'm just, yeah, it's suspend him, but make it a game. And make it like a game check.
I would even say...
to me, that's huge. A game check for Calvin Ridley is probably $200,000.
Yeah, that's like 18 of his bets.
Yeah. or 200 of his bets.
I would argue that it should almost be case to case. Like, just say, you know what, Calvin? You bet $1,500 total dollars over 3 years on games you weren't involved in. You're not allowed to play two games. We need to make an example out of you. And then if you find out this Colts player bet on the Texans, even if he didn't personally throw it, just because that is so dangerous.
It is.
Even if they're like,
you cannot be seen as a league being soft on that.
Yeah, you say, you could even say you're out of this league at that point.
Yeah.
But if he's even going, you know, oh, you gambled $5,000 on a Colts game, 8 games. That's a massive bet. We can't have that, even if it's for you. And you know, and then like we said, bet against your own team, out of the league. Bam. Make it case by case. Don't do I think a year for minute bets on games he wasn't playing in was ridiculous for Calvin Ridley.
It is. And I mean, let's be honest, in the last 10 years you've seen guys on video beating the hell out of women get a much smaller sentence than that. I mean, come on. It's interesting to me because the NFL really does have the manpower and the power to look at it by a case by case basis. You know, if there was a different league, it's like, oh man, we don't have a lawyer to go look at. Well, of course the NFL has money for that. Go do it. Mm-hmm. Take it out of the player's friggin' money.
Unless he's found innocent.
Yeah.
Then you're in trouble because you took his money. You got to give it back, I guess.
Then maybe you shouldn't have investigated him and you pay for it.
I was about to say, you said take it out of the player's money.
Yeah. Well, no,
if he gets found innocent after you take his money, then you're in a bit of an oopsie.
Well, but I'm saying if he was innocent, then the league.
Pay him back.
Then the league pays the fees. Mm-hmm. That is one of the more ridiculous things going on right now. And here's the funny thing, Aaron. There's times I want to bet all the time. And in fact, I'm kind of surprised I haven't, because there's been times I was really like, oh man, I would totally win. Look at that one. I would win that one. And it's funny because about 2/3 of the time, those bets, I'm glad that I'm such a lazy procrastinator that I didn't bet because I lost. I come out ahead by being procrastinator.
I have one friend who's a Cubs fan. He's in my Chicago Bears group chat, who does do a lot of the Draft King, you know, will Aaron Judge get a hit today, you know, those tiny little, and he just does like 5 of them seemingly every day, and we make fun of him daily. But my heavens, does it not lead to some of the funniest sports rants I've ever heard in my life, is this dude is just furious about things like an umpire calling a ball that was right on the corner when he had money on 10 strikeouts for this pitcher and this pitcher's at 9, and it's Some of the things that the gambling seems to add to people's fury is hilarious. Man,
absolutely. It's you can absolutely see why that's part of the, like I said, that's part of the issue. But
and we'll touch on these as well. We'll probably touch on them more next week when the finals are either just about closing up or rounding up. But the Vegas Golden Knights with a 2-0 lead.
They scored 12 goals in 2 games.
Now. Do we need to go back to the fact that the Bruins were up 2-0 and 3-1 on Florida?
And this one's over.
Crushing them. And Miami and Denver 1-1 in a battle of, man, why does one of them have to lose?
Here's sort of the interesting.
I like both of these. The stars of each team
do too.
Deserve that, because the national media is finally going to be forced, the Nick Wrights of the world, the Skip Baylesses of the world, to either give Jimmy Butler or
Nikola Jokic,
their credit that they keep every time one of those two does something incredible, we have to dock it for some reason. I don't know why. The problem I have with it is that one of them is also going to lose.
Yeah.
And someone is going to go on First Take or on Undisputed, and they're going to laugh up a storm and be a dick about it.
Don't go watch Undisputed.
No one does.
Skip Bayless is a terrible human being.
He finally drove Shannon Sharpe straight up out of there.
He's lucky Shannon Sharpe didn't break
beat the
him.
Crap out of him at some
He's
point.
He's lucky Shannon Sharpe just didn't put him in the ground.
Have you seen the clip I just saw on Twitter the other day of apparently they were talking about is Tom Brady... And first of all, I would actually even maybe be on Bayless's side with the actual debate. It was, is Tom Brady the greatest of all time after winning 7 Super Bowl rings? And Shannon Sharpe was on the... No, Patrick Mahomes is better than Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, Shannon Sharpe clearly on the scale of I want raw physical talent. And Skip Bayless.
I'm
was
being
the
ridiculous one in this discussion. Usually that's Skip's job.
Yeah, and Skip told Shannon Sharpe something to the effect of, "How do you're sitting over there telling me like I'm the younger child here? What do you have to tell me about greatness in the NFL?" And Shannon Sharpe says, "Well, I played in the NFL, Skip. What are you talking about? I've played with John Elway. I played with..." And Skip Bayless cuts him off and says, "Oh, please, you were just a tight end. You didn't win Super Bowls the way Tom Brady won Super Bowls." And he's like degrading Shannon Sharpe's career legacy. Skip Bayless has been busted in the past. He didn't play sports in
at
high
all.
School.
Yeah, he lied. He totally lied about it.
In high school.
Yeah.
And he's telling Shannon Sharpe what a non-factor he was on his Super Bowl
team.
Which
is interesting because one of the first things I think of Shannon Sharpe is one, he's one of the top 5 or 10 tight ends of all time.
Yeah.
The Ravens don't win that first Super Bowl without him. Not a chance.
Shannon Sharpe and Jamal Lewis were the only competent offensive players on the team.
They don't win. Yeah. And yeah. I hate these morons. And you know what? That's the problem with ESPN and these places is they keep paying the morons more and more money.
It's because...
To be outlandish and be stupid.
The problem is, and this is probably the thing I hate most about our industry, is that trying your best to have a discussion about sports, and we were talking about Arise earlier, and we were bringing up points like morons. We would get way more views, Dal, if I just came in here, farted into the microphone, and screamed at you for an hour, because apparently that gets clicks on the YouTube.
Please don't do that. That's my mic, usually. This mic smells funny.
But that is apparently how this game works. Sports broadcasting has essentially, I brought it up earlier, turned into professional wrestling. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're
right. Oh, my Lord!
Yeah, you got to have a good gimmick, and you got to be a good promo. You don't necessarily have to be good at your job.
It's like Jerry Lawler, the old professional wrestling.
And only because this came up as well, and we're in the full swing of baseball season, and I guess I apologize, Dal, because I know you're not the biggest baseball fan on planet Earth.
I appreciate baseball, but I'm definitely not as big a fan as you.
Which is so funny, because as far as my circle of people, I had friends that played baseball. My dad was a baseball player. I'm usually Aaron's the football and hockey guy. But here, it's Duke and I are the baseball dudes. Well, I love it. It's very fun.
Well, we don't have a team.
That is fair enough.
So, yeah, it's pretty casual out here.
But this question was posed the other day, and I do find it fun. We're over a third of the way through the season. We're not halfway or at the All-Star break or anything like that. These teams aren't solidified or anything, but we're not a week in. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And we have 3 absolutely shocking first place teams in divisions right
That's
now.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
So let me ask you, Dal, from what you do follow in baseball,
I'm not going to do good here.
Which of these shocks you the most?
Okay. That I can do.
Okay. Tampa Bay's in first place, whatever. They're a good team. I think we all thought maybe the Yankees, but Tampa Bay's a good team.
At least Tampa has been like in the mix for a title in the last few years, yeah.
And I don't think anyone is shocked that the Twins or Braves are in first place.
No.
However, in a division that includes the Houston Astros, the Texas Rangers are currently leading the American League West.
Yeah, that's sort of surprising.
And, you know, we all know the Angels are bad, but they do have Ohtani and Trout and all them. And
they do have 2 of the most generational talents that have ever lived.
One of them set to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason and has already told the Angels he's not coming back. Let the absolute insanity of next fall.
They've already started the yard sale in New York for the Yankees.
I have seen 29 photoshops already of Shohei Ohtani in random jerseys.
I can tell you right now, go ahead and chop the Rockies one off. He's not going there.
The Oakland Athletics are somehow all convinced they're getting Ohtani. Like, everyone thinks Ohtani is coming to their...
I don't.
It's hilarious.
He's not going to Colorado.
However, the Texas Rangers in first place after a very funny tweet from... who was it? Was it Stephen A? Tweeting out... You know, there's a lot of teams that always complain about spending this and spending that, but you could be, and this was this offseason, right before the Rangers are now in first place, you could be the Texas Rangers and spending $210 million on three players. Well, right now those three players are all leading their respective position in all-star voting in the American League, and the Rangers are in first place.
Stephen A., at least Stephen A. Smith, I like him better than Skip Bayless. But that's like saying I like the flu better than gonorrhea.
I'll give Stephen A. credit for one thing that came up over the summer, too, was he got a lot of crap because people posted the quote without watching the clip. And I hate when that happens, and especially for a lot of athlete interviews, because then people put their own context to it. When he said, oh, I don't do hockey. So that was what he said when the question asked to him and his co-host was, which New York team is most likely to win a championship first? Because a lot of them have been, you know, the Mets and Yankees starting to look good, the Giants and Jets. The Jets had just gotten Aaron Rodgers. You know, the Islanders and Rangers both make the playoffs. And then, of course, the Nets keep having hope for some reason. And the Knicks made the playoffs. And that was the question. And the guy across from him said, the New York Rangers. Said it without pausing. And Stephen A. Smith went, oh, that doesn't count. He said, why? He goes, well, that's not fair, because you know I don't watch hockey, so I couldn't have known that. And that was the actual quote. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, hockey fans are always mad that ESPN people don't talk about hockey enough. But Stephen A. Smith did at least specifically say that doesn't count because he couldn't have guessed it. But the quote that people kept sharing around the internet was, hockey doesn't count. And people just got furious. Stephen A's a load of, he's a piece of this, and he's a load of that. And you know, I'm like, well, okay. That's because the person tweeting this decided to take one sentence out of an entire paragraph that he said. I'll defend him on this one. It's because he specifically doesn't watch it and just tried to get an out on the contest they were having. He's like, I can't argue for or against that. Anyhow, the other two teams that are shocking, we should probably try to stay on that. The Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's shocking.
Currently leading the National League Central.
Which, that's my brother's team, and he has been absolutely brand loyal to them for 30 years, 35, and they've been terrible for most of those.
We've had Kyler, who's in our fantasy league, and he's been on this show a few times. He's a Pittsburgh sports fan. He'll occasionally watch a Pirates game live because he lives in St. Louis now. He and I went to high school together. When they come to play the Cardinals, he'll occasionally go with a group of friends. This is how good the Pirates have been to start this year. He has asked for my login info for my MLB TV, and he watches the Pirates every day now.
You just got in trouble. Well, wait, no, I guess you're good. You're not showing your Netflix account.
Oh, yes.
Netflix is gonna come down hard on you.
I think the biggest shocker is that Pittsburgh had a great start and didn't trade all their successful players to save money. That's the biggest part of this. So they've maintained a stranglehold. They just swept the Cardinals in St. Louis.
In fact, on that thread, Kyler was like, I don't have time to talk about whatever nonsense we were texting about because the Pirates were finishing a sweep.
Yes, the Pirate. Now, they play in a weak division. It is what it is. But when you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, like my White Sox, you take and I still remember
when
I remember Yankees fans making fun of the White Sox for us hyping up the atmosphere for our playoff game in 2021. We had two games. We did the blackout where everyone has to show up in black and they turn the lights off for the player intros for the night game. And that stadium was rocking because we hadn't been to the playoffs since 2008. And there were some Yankees fans, like White Sox fans are getting excited for a wild card round playoff series.
It's like, yeah, we are.
Like, yes! Because we're not the Yankees! This is the greatest day of my White Sox fandom, apart from watching them win the World Series. But I was 10 at the time. Oh. And anyhow, Pirates. This is their 2021 White Sox. They're going to be the worst division winner, and they are going to be easily the happiest one if they win.
I'll just throw this out there. A couple years ago, the Washington football team, as they were known at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They won the NFC East at 7-9, and I bought the hat.
Well, even if you know that you're potentially going to get schlacked in those playoffs, you maybe buy the hat anyway.
They were close.
And they almost beat Brady.
That was the legend of Taylor Heineke that game.
That was very funny. For instance, if I had been a Seahawks fan for their 7-9 playoff run, like, yeah, I'm buying that one. Even though they then got crushed by the Bears in the playoffs, yeah, in one of my very few happy Bears postseason memories.
So who's the other one?
Arizona Diamondbacks.
Okay, that one's going to go away.
This one is the most shocking to me.
It is to me because they suck.
And here's why. The Texas Rangers, fine, you got the Astros in that division, but Houston has a higher payroll than them. It's a little shocking they're beating the Astros, but fine. The Pirates, we're all shocked because it's the Pirates, but they play in a bad division. Fine. The Arizona Diamondbacks are currently edging out the Dodgers, Giants, and Padres.
All of which.
That's what makes it my winner.
I agree with that. In fact, I didn't even know that. And the team I somewhat cheer for is in that division.
You know what's really funny, though, Dal? Or maybe not funny. Maybe you're going to hate it. This is how bad the American League Central is. The Rockies and White Sox have the exact same record right now.
Hmm.
And the White Sox are 4.5 games back of first place. And the Rockies are in dead last by 10 games.
I'm actually surprised it's only 10.
Yeah, that's the difference between our divisions.
Fact, it would be more than 10 if Arizona wasn't doing what they're doing right now. It'd be like 15 or 16.
And Arizona's one famous player that anyone knows coming into the year was Madison Bumgarner. They cut him from the team because he was the worst pitcher on their staff this year. That's the start of the season. They're the most shocking team.
I
at least think it's fun, though, that we got three.
And I also think that by the end of the year, either the Giants, Dodgers, or Padres are going to be on top of that division.
Yeah, I think right now, if you had to say likelihood...
Dodgers.
...that they stay... Of those three teams that are the current shockers, who's the most likely to stay in first when the playoffs are wrapped up? Who wins the division?
Rangers.
I'm going to say Rangers for being the best team of the three. It's a coin flip between, do I bet on the rest of the division is awful versus your team is actually good? I'm going to go with the Rangers are good.
I just think there's too much evidence for teams like the Pirates and the Diamondbacks of not winning the division that over the course of 182 games, you're going to revert to what you normally do.
And I hate to give all my friends back home, the Cardinal fans that I like to bicker with from time to time, I hate to give them ammo. But is there any part of your brain, if you're a baseball fan, that has that, you know those franchises that you're just always worried about because there's some magic behind the BS,
yeah,
whatever?
The Cardinals.
And you're like, yeah, the Cardinals are in debt. They look terrible.
They
but
always,
aren't you always worried that they might
always
pull
in the
a
mix.
Miracle run?
Yeah, they're always in the mix.
Like, oh, I can't kill them just yet because they might still do it because they have a cardinal on their hat.
Oh, hey, here's a cool little note that just came across. Hamlin, the young man who had that
yes
for the Bills.
Damar Hamlin.
Damar. I kept wanting to say Denny Hamlin. He's a race car driver. But apparently he practiced today with a helmet on. That's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Cool stuff.
I'm still not sure that... It's not my place. I might as well not say. I was going to say, I'm not sure that I
should.
Could, yeah, that he should, but it is his heart. It is his life.
Well,
it is his dream.
And not only that.
Do what you are going to do.
These guys are pro athletes. They're more in tune with their bodies than I will ever be. And if he feels like he's 100%, go for it.
And yeah, so ran through all of that. I will say maybe next week, Dal, because we got one... I got a couple of comments on our last episode, and one of them was a text message. We actually, for the first time, got some unsportsmanlike response to something here, Dal. Not just a, hey, good job, or hey, I disagree with this. I'm talking a rant. We inspired a rant, Dal.
Really?
And it was from Kyler.
Oh,
so
okay.
Maybe that's whatever.
I'd actually be more nervous if it was someone we didn't know.
That's our official... We made it moment. You have to inspire the angriest rant ever from a total stranger.
A total stranger.
It's got to be, you know, whatever. Boogie Diaper 978 on YouTube leaves a comment. Right, that's the guy that officially means that you've done something. But Kyler was not pleased with your LeBron bashing on the Denver swept the Lakers episode.
I will go toe to toe with him on this.
And I gotta say, I might just leave the room and just go start counting money.
He's a pansy.
We gotta get Kyler on. We gotta have another call in.
He pretended to fall on the ground, and then they called a foul on the Denver player. And
save
then
this.
And then the fan where he fell over on the side gave him a towel, and it's all zoomed in. He's like, "Thank you," and it's just like he knows sitting there on the ground that he just flopped on the ground, got a call. It's embarrassing. He's an actor. He's as much. Okay, he's not quite as much of an actor as Hulk Hogan, but it's a hell of a lot closer than it should be.
Well, Hogan didn't sell all that much when he wrestled, so he might be better.
I don't know. I saw a video this week of Hulk Hogan hitting somebody with a metal chair back in the day,
yes.
And it was like tap. Like he was barely touching the guy.
That was the Big Show, I do believe.
Is that who it was?
That was.
Was the Big Show nursing a concussion at the time?
Maybe. Well... That was back in his young days.
He barely touched him. Anyway, bring it on.
I think that'll be fun.
I think I gave lots of compliments to LeBron, but the fact
give us your opinion down below. If we bring Kyler on next week, we get a Jordan LeBron episode because it's the summertime. We can waste an episode on a legacy argument.
Yeah.
Might even bring in decent listens, to be honest. You could put LeBron and Jordan's name on anything and get clicks.
Maybe we can get Shannon Sharp. He's not on.
He's free.
Yeah, he's doing something else now.
Did you see it's LeSean McCoy favorite?
I did see that, which is fine because he played for the Eagles, so I won't like him. He also played for the Bills, but not one. Yeah, that's fine.
But give us your thoughts down below. Vote now. What will be a bigger spewing of venom? Dal and Kyler in the LeBron Jordan debate, or Dal and I in the yellow versus gold pants debate? What's gonna
you
be worse?
You said gold.
I did. I think I said gold in that episode.
No, you kept saying yellow, and it was pissing me off.
No, but I know what the difference between gold. We don't need to do
this
again.
There are different kinds of gold.
We don't need to do this again. You can follow us
Golden
on
rays
Spotify,
of sunshine.
On YouTube, and on svinews.com/podcast. Catch us on the weeks that we have episodes and we don't have anyone gone or anything like that. See you guys next time.